This video was brought to you by Ground News. Today, tensions flare in the South China Sea, Mark Rutte wins a key endorsement for his bid to lead NATO, and a major earthquake hits Taiwan. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 2024. Today's main story comes from the South China Sea, where tensions are flaring up again between the Philippines and China. On Sunday, Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. announced an order to his government to strengthen its maritime security. And today, a top security official said the country is prepared to respond to China's attempts to disrupt its supply missions to a disputed territory in the region. It comes a week after China used water cannon against a resupply mission to a reef called the Second Thomas Shoal, where the Philippines has a handful of soldiers guarding a warship that was deliberately grounded there in 1999. To give you some context, this is part of a decades-long territorial dispute, which has seen numerous attempts by the Chinese Coast Guard to block the delivery of food, water, and other supplies to the US-built Philippine Navy ship, the BRP Sierra Madre. Back in October, Philippine officials said that China had rammed a Philippine Coast Guard ship, and last August, Chinese vessels fired water cannon against a resupply mission to the reef. For its part, China has accused the Philippines of treachery and of failing to follow through on a promise to tow the grounded warship away, a promise the Philippines denies ever making. In response to China's actions, the Philippines is also deepening military ties with the US, the other major power in the South China Sea, which will further increase tensions between China and the US. On Tuesday, the Philippine National Security Advisor had a phone call with their US counterpart to discuss what they described as the coercive, aggressive, and deceptive actions by Beijing in the South China Sea, which China claims almost entirely as part of its territory. Officials from the Philippines, Japan, and America will also get together at a trilateral summit in Washington on the 11th of April, and security is expected to be a big topic in their discussions. There's more on the way, but be sure to subscribe and ring the bell to make the daily briefing part of your daily routine, or just search for us on your podcast app to listen along. Outgoing Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte is one step closer to becoming the next Secretary General of NATO after securing an endorsement from Estonian Prime Minister Kaja Kallas, who had previously been considered a potentially strong candidate. NATO is due to get a new chief this year as incumbent Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is stepping down in the autumn, having had his term extended multiple times due to the unstable geopolitical environment. The alliance hopes to agree on a new leader by July, when leaders will meet for a summit in Washington, D.C. There isn't really a formal process, but instead there's a lot of behind-the-scenes horse trading between member states that eventually results in a candidate receiving the necessary backing of every NATO member. For Rutte, who currently remains acting Dutch Prime Minister while the government formation talks continue, he has secured the support of all but four member states: Hungary, Slovakia, Turkey, and Romania. Romania's own president, Klaus Iohannis, has put himself forward for the top job, arguing that NATO needs a leader from an Eastern European country. Slovakia is in the middle of a presidential election, so likely won't make a decision until after that, and Turkey, meanwhile, wants any new leader to take into consideration the sensitivities of the non-EU members. And finally, Hungary has beef with Rutte for his criticism of Viktor Orban's rule of law record. So, all in all, there's still plenty of behind-the-scenes debate before any consensus will be reached. In other news, after a tumultuous presidential election, Senegal has inaugurated former jailed opposition candidate Bassirou Diomaye Faye as the West African country's new president. Faye, a 44-year-old former tax inspector, is now Senegal's youngest president and said after taking the oath of office that the results of the election showed a profound desire for change. The election took place on March the 24th, following unsuccessful attempts by then-president Macky Sall to postpone the vote from February to December, and then June. This sparked opposition and protest among a population dealing with economic hardship and already concerned about democratic backsliding in what's considered the region's most resilient democracy. One of Faye's first acts as president was to appoint his ally Ousmane Sonko as prime minister. Sonko is the former popular opposition leader who was jailed and barred from running for president. He then named Faye to run in his place, who went on to win with 54% of the vote in the first round, defeating the candidate of the outgoing president's coalition. Despite Faye's election sparking hope and celebration for millions of Senegalese, he does face significant challenges. He'll need to work to build alliances in the National Assembly, while the country also faces high unemployment, emigration, corruption, and more. Now over to Taiwan, where early this morning, a 7.7 magnitude earthquake hit the island just outside the city of Hualien. The earthquakes left at least 7 people dead and injured hundreds. Not only is it a humanitarian tragedy, but the quake could also have disastrous repercussions on the global economy. Whilst it's still too early to know the scale of the fallout, the earthquake, Taiwan's biggest in 25 years, has disrupted production at the island's semiconductor companies. The Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC, and smaller local rival, the United Microelectronics Corp., have halted production and evacuated staff. In fact, Taiwan is the source of an estimated 80 to 90% of the highest-end chips. Why? Well, because making these semiconductor chips is a very precise and complicated process. So chip companies have concentrated their facilities in Taiwan to share expertise and work together closely. However, centering production on an island which is prone to natural shocks, not to mention which also is a military flashpoint, has long been a concern for industry execs and governments. A single vibration can destroy entire batches of the semiconductors. TSMC says it's assessing the impact of the earthquake, whilst its shares dropped by 1.3%. A Barclays analyst wrote that recovery of the production process for such sophisticated semiconductors could take weeks, so there's some serious concerns that the global technology industry will, as a result, be heavily affected. And finally, in some uplifting news, people in parts of Mexico, the United States, and Canada are preparing for a total solar eclipse set to take place next week on April the 8th. The eclipse path travels across a wide swathe of the US and will be visible, depending on the weather, to some 34 million Americans. But one man who's particularly excited is 105-year-old eclipse chaser Laverne Bizet, who on Monday will hopefully view his 13th solar eclipse, having seen his first in 1963 and travelled all around the world to see the others. Today's headline story about escalating South China Sea tensions has been covered extensively by 29 news outlets across the political spectrum. 27% of the reporting is coming from the left, and 33% is coming from the right. If you compare the headlines, you'll start to see some interesting framing emerge. These insights are all possible thanks to our sponsor, Ground News, a website and app developed by a former NASA engineer on a mission to give readers an easy, data-driven, objective way to read the news. Every story comes with a quick visual breakdown of the political bias, factuality, and ownership of the source's reporting, all backed by ratings from 3 independent news monitoring organizations. For example, on that story about the Philippines and China, not only are you able to compare the political bias and the headlines, but you can even check out the factuality information and the ownership. At this point, our viewers are well aware of our appreciation of Ground News. It's such an incredibly useful platform that captures information you can't get anywhere else. And best of all, they're currently offering 40% off their Vantage plan, which comes with unlimited access to all their features. So go to ground.news/TLDR or click the link down below to sign up for only $5 a month and keep an independent news platform working to make the media landscape more transparent.